You are listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For location and service times, please visit us online at myeternitydm.com.
Great. So good to see you all. How are you tonight? Good. Well, it's good to be back in Eternity Church. And we've been hearing about so many good things that have been happening here, right here in Des Moines. And we're excited about what God's doing here as well through you guys. And I know that this church has grown so much, so many of you probably haven't met me yet because I came about 3 years ago. So it's good to see you. Hello out there. Good to see you. And I know you're probably a little bit confused because I live in India. I look like an Indian and I sound like an Australian, right? My whole life is very confusing, so it's great to be here. I just want to say thank you to Pastor Jesse and his team for having me, and my daughter Madison, who's here. Why don't you say hello to Madison? And I've got two other kids. I've got two sons back home in India. My wife is there, obviously. She's looking after our church and doing a great job there. Well, you know what? I love the fact that no matter where you go in the world, you experience the same presence of God. He can do miracles here in Des Moines. He can do miracles in Mumbai in India. And we serve the same God. But we're in different places doing different things for the kingdom of God. And we are personally just so grateful for the support from this church, the prayer and the generosity. Towards us and what's happening in India is just tremendous. It's actually amazing. And God has been doing so many good things. I wish I could tell you all of the things, but there's too many to go into. So I just want to briefly, before I start preaching, I'm going to briefly tell you one thing, one really great thing that has been happening in Mumbai. Last year was a great year. And one of the things we saw happening is we started busing in around about 50 kids from a slum area to church every week. And that was a great thing. And probably about 80 to 90% of those kids all come from Hindu and Muslim families. And so we were amazed that their parents let them come to start with. But you know, now that they're coming, then they came just because it's fun. But God is changing their life. They're hearing a message of grace and the love of Jesus every week. And it's literally changing the way they think. Some of you might not realize this, but there's a lot of segregation in India. There's a lot of ill treatment towards certain types of people in India. One of the things that happens there is, you know, most people are brown in India. However, there's different shades of brown. You know what I'm saying, right? And so, unfortunately, the darker you are in India, the worse you're treated. So people with very dark skin get treated very badly. And so there's these two boys that come to our children's church. And they come from an unsaved background, unsaved family. They were at a family gathering, and one of their uncles was teasing his niece, which is their cousin. She's a little girl that has very dark skin. I'm sure he didn't think too much about how it actually affects her, but you know, he was just making fun of her. So these two little boys, one of them's about 8 years old, they're about 8 and 9 years old. He stood up and he said, "Uncle, you should not talk to her like that." And he says, "Why?" And he goes, "Because she's made by God. She's created by God. And she's got a plan and a purpose. And Jesus loves her. So you shouldn't talk to her like that." This is an amazing thing. Now, in an Indian culture, young kids never get to talk back to their elders, right? It's a big deal. And so instead of getting angry at him, he was quite taken back by this. And he started asking their mother, "What are you doing to your sons? Why are they saying that sort of stuff?" And she said, "I don't know. They just go to this church." And he's like, he said, "Well, it must be good for them. You should probably start going to that church too," right? So we're just hearing stories like that about how God is changing the way people think. God's changing the hearts of people. We just feel so excited about these young kids who are having transformational experiences. And you guys are playing a part in that. You might be a long way away in terms of miles, but we really appreciate your support, encouragement, and prayer, and generosity, and it really is making a massive difference on the other side of the world. So praise God for that. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, why don't you turn in your Bibles to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 12. I believe the last time I was here, I preached on something from the life of Abraham. And I'm going to do that again tonight. Not the same sermon, though, so it's okay. I've personally just learned so much from the life of Abraham and how it's had such a profound impact on my life, some of the things that God has taught me. And I just want to share you one little aspect of that tonight. Genesis chapter 12, and we're just going to read verse 1 through to 6. And I believe it's coming up on the screen. The Lord said to Abraham, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you." Someone say bless.
Bless.
Say it a little bit louder.
Bless.
"I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples of earth will be blessed through you." So Abraham went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people that they had acquired in Haran. And they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. One more verse. Abraham traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh and Shechem. And at that time, the Canaanites were in the land. You know what I've discovered? I've discovered that when God sends you out, He doesn't often send you with a whole lot of details, and He often doesn't send you with the plan, but He does send you with the blessing. Come on, somebody. Now, I need to clarify something. He does have a plan. Jeremiah says, "I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord." Sometimes He doesn't show you the whole plan. That can make us a little bit nervous, especially those of us who like to be in control of everything. But I just want you to know, you might not know all the details. You might be finding yourself in this place where you're following the Lord, you're following Jesus, you're doing your best to just be in His will, but you can't make sense of everything that's going on in your life. And sometimes that can be a little bit disconcerting or a little bit concerning. But I want you to know, you might not have the details and you might not have the plan, but you do. I guarantee you this, you have a blessing. When God sends you out, He sends you out blessed. I thought you'd say a louder amen to that. Come on, somebody. I want you to know that the blessing that was pronounced on Abraham, the fact that He's going to bless him, going to make his name great, give him influence, that people who, he's so blessed that if someone was good to him, God was just going to bless them. If someone was bad towards him, God was going to sort them out. But ultimately, the blessing would overflow from his life to the whole nations. Here's the interesting thing. You personally, just tap yourself on the chest. I'm not talking about people generally. You personally have the same blessing pronounced over your life that Abraham had pronounced over his life all those many years ago. If you don't believe me, have a look at this verse in Galatians. In Galatians chapter 3, it's coming up on the screen right now. Galatians chapter 3. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus. So the blessing that was given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles. That's basically you and I, unless you're a Jewish person here. That's basically, we're all Gentiles, right? So the Bible actually says that you've been given the same blessing as Abraham. You specifically, you personally. And when I say blessing, I don't mean just like, you know, warm, fuzzy feelings. Because sometimes as Christians, we can get a little bit, you know, just, you know, weird and flaky and spiritual. And we talk about the blessings of the Lord. And when someone sneezes, we say, "Oh, bless you." What does that mean? A blessing is an actual, tangible, good thing that is bestowed upon you, right? An actual thing that has physical, tangible effects in your life. If you study what that word actually means, a blessing. You've been given a blessing as you've been sent into your life to live out the will of God and towards the destiny that God has for your life. Somebody say amen for that. So with that in mind, I want to let you know that the title of my message tonight is Look Up. If you're writing notes, you should write that down at the top of your page. Look up. Just turn to someone next to you and say, I think he's talking to you. Heavenly Father, I just pray that you would help me speak. I pray that as I speak, your spirit would move amongst us. From the front of this room to the back, from the left to the right, from the youngest to the oldest. Lord, we didn't come here to play church. We came here to meet with you and hear your voice. And I just pray that as I speak, that the people wouldn't hear my voice, but they would hear your voice. Lord, I can only speak to a crowd, but Holy Spirit, you can speak to the very individual, the person where they're at right now in their life. And I just pray for a spirit of revelation to take place here in the name of Jesus. Change mindsets. Lord, increase our faith. Remove fear in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Blessed. I want you to understand, it is possible to be blessed and not know that you're blessed. Come on, somebody. You could be sitting, I was talking about, oh, the Gentiles, oh, the same blessing as Abraham. Some of you are sitting there going, oh, yeah, okay. Okay, we're all right. It's possible to be blessed, ridiculously blessed, and actually be so unaware of it that you don't even walk in it. In fact, you might be surprised to hear this, but Abraham was like that. I mean, we talked about Abraham's blessing. He actually was blessed, but he didn't know or believe he was blessed. So when he operated his life initially, early on, he didn't operate thinking and planning according to the blessing that was on his life. He actually operated thinking and believing that he wasn't blessed and that he had to take care of everything himself. And when you think like that, it causes all sorts of things like worry and fear and anxiety and planning and scheming and wheeling and dealing. But God wants you to not only be blessed, he wants you to know that you're blessed. So what I want to do, I just want to walk through the life of Abraham a little bit from chapter 12, go through a couple of chapters in brief. And I just want to show you the effect that the blessing of God had on Abraham's life and how he didn't even see it or understand it or believe that it was on his life. So he gets sent by God, go to the land, and he leaves. That's a good thing. He's obedient at least. So Abraham goes and God says, when you get there, I'll show you. He gets to the promised land, which is Canaan. And that's the big promise, right? That's the big place where God has said, this is where you've got to go. It's going to be amazing. So he gets there. And when he gets there, he realizes the place is in famine. So he goes to the place that God promised him, the promised land, so to speak. He gets there and it doesn't look that good. When you're blessed, you can survive in a dry place. But when you can't see that you're blessed, the first signs of discomfort, you tend to want to move yourself away from the place that God puts you. Did you catch that? When you're blessed, you can survive in a dry place. But if you don't know you're blessed, what you want to do is you want to move yourself away from where God puts you. That's what happened to Abraham. He got there, the place is in famine and drought. And so he says, he packs up his whole clan, his family, his servants, his workers. He says, we've got to get out of here. We've got to go to Egypt. So they're on their way to Egypt. And As Abraham is traveling to Egypt, he's thinking through how their life is going to be. And he glances over at Sarai, his wife. And he thinks to himself, she's really beautiful. I mean, I've got a really hot wife, right? So he looks over and, she's fine. Like she's, But as he's thinking of that, he thinks to himself, oh no, this could be a problem. I mean, she is so good looking. We're going to get to Egypt and people are going to want her. The problem with that is he starts to think, if they want her, they might kill me to get to her. This is what happens when you don't know you're blessed. You start to scheme and think. You think you're smart. There is a way, the Bible says, to a man that seems right, but it ends in death. So you start to think things through, think through your plans, and you start trying to come up with contingencies. And he comes up with this brilliant plan. Right, if you couldn't pick up the sarcasm in that. Okay, comes up with this brilliant plan. He says, you know what? I'm going to tell everyone that she's my sister. So if they want her, they're not going to kill me to get her. Wow, what a great plan. So he travels there, and sure enough, word starts to spread around Egypt about this beautiful woman that's just arrived. I want you to know something, that fear is never the place to start making your decisions from. Faith is the place to make your decisions from. If you've got some decisions to make, if you're wondering about some things, if you're thinking through a situation and you're in fear, just a word of advice, don't make your decision from that place. Because it will seem right, but it will not be right. I'm just going to tell everyone she's my sister. So someone, sure enough, Pharaoh hears about her. Man, this is an amazing woman. Pharaoh says, well, if she's that amazing, you better get her and bring her to me. He's the king of the land. So they go to Abraham, and he thinks, just as I thought, phew, she's my sister, it's okay. And they go, well, Pharaoh wants her, so here, have a whole bunch of gifts. And Abraham thinks, man, my planning was good. So have a whole bunch of gifts and we'll take your sister. So they take his wife. Now his family's broken up. This is what your fear planning does. So his wife's gone. And I'm sure he's thinking, I got all these gifts for her, but my wife's gone. I probably didn't think it through that well. But my friends, have you ever had a plan where you thought things through, you planned it out, it didn't quite go according to what you thought it would go according to, and that's when God steps in. When your plans run out, when your plans start to run up on the rocks and your ship starts to sink, thank the Lord that He's still there, because the Bible says that He never leaves you and He never forsakes you. Your common sense might have left you, but the Lord didn't leave you. So he said, so the Lord starts to convict Pharaoh, and you know, things start to happen, and Pharaoh's going, what's going on? And he discovers that, oh my goodness, this is actually another man's wife. Now the gods, he's thinking the gods are punishing me. And so he comes back to Abraham and he says, why did you do that to me? How come you told me this was your sister? And Abraham goes, oh, I thought I was going to get killed. And he goes, you shouldn't have done that. Here, take your wife. Keep all the gifts. And go back to where you came from. So in one moment in time, God gets his wife back. He gets to keep all the trappings and extra little trinkets he got. And he got sent back to where he was meant to be. The promised land. My friends, that is what blessing looks like. It's God fixing up your messes. It's God putting you back on track when you messed up again. It's God giving you another chance, though you might think you don't deserve it. He comes through anyway. See, there might be some people here say, I don't think I'm that blessed. Man, my life is such a mess. I've made mistakes. I've gone off track. I'm pretty sure if there was a blessing, God took it off me. No, you got it all wrong. That's the very point. The blessing looks like God getting you back to where you're meant to be. Rescuing you from your own bad plans. Look up! Because you're blessed. Let's keep going with his story. So they're back in the promised land. And you know, Abraham's got Lot there. Lot's not his son, but Lot's father died when he was young, and basically Abraham adopted him. Okay, so even though it doesn't call him his son, it's like it's his son, and he's basically raised him. Lot's a very wealthy man, because basically Abraham was a wealthy man. But problems started to arise. See, Lot had all these animals, these herds. Abraham had all these herds. And their herdsmen, their shepherds, started to fight over the pasture, over the feeding grounds. So Abraham gets together with Lot and he says, this is not good. We're family. We shouldn't be fighting like this. There shouldn't be conflict between our workers. So he says, this is what we're going to do. This is what Abraham says. Lot, I want you to look around in any direction you want. And if you want to go in that direction, I'll go in the opposite direction. If you want to go in that direction, I'll go in the opposite direction. And so, you know, when we're reading this from a Western perspective, we're thinking, wow, that's a pretty good plan. You know, like, let's just kind of separate. We love each other. We'll go magnanimously in different directions. It appears to be pretty legitimate. But if you're not from a Western culture, let's say you're from a place like India, or let's say you're back then, the way they would have perceived it, they would have perceived this whole scenario very different to the way we typically see it. So Abraham says, have a look. And Lot, his younger nephew, which has basically owed his life to Abraham, says, great, I'm going to have a look. And he looks out and he looks, according to his perspective, what the best, he looks towards the fertile plains of the Jordan Valley and he goes, yeah, that's where I want to go. Now just remember, if he picks that place, his uncle's got to go the exact opposite place. Now, I want you to understand something. In that culture, this is how it should have gone. Lot, you have a look around. Wherever you want to go, I'll go in the opposite direction. And what should have happened is Lot should have then said, no, uncle, wherever you want to go, I'll go in the opposite direction. Because that's the way it worked back then. They had a level of respect for elders. They had an honoring system that you know, so for Lot to just so boldly and so with such bravado just go, I'm going to pick the Jordan Valley. It was showing a level of disrespect to his uncle that was probably considered very uncommon or very, you know, not a good thing and a good situation in their culture, in their time. So what happens? Abraham does the right thing, but he ends up seemingly worse off. Come on, somebody. Have you ever had an experience like that? Have you ever done the right thing and ended up worse off? Have you ever helped your work colleague and they got the promotion? Have you ever encouraged a relative and yet they seem to forget you even exist now? So here's Abraham. He's in the no man's land. He doesn't know where to go. Lot's chosen the best place. He's got to go in the complete opposite direction. Sometimes in life, it feels like you're not blessed because other people keep pushing you down. Seems like sometimes when you just want to get ahead, someone else pushes you down. Someone stabs you in the back. Someone else seems to be working against you. And it's hard in those moments to think, I'm blessed. But you are. Look at what God actually comes through and says to Abraham just after Lot leaves him for the fertile plains of the Jordan Valley. Have a look. It's coming up on the screen. Chapter 13, verses 17. Genesis 13. This is God speaking to Abraham. Go walk through the length and the breadth of the land, for I'm giving it to you. So Abraham went to live near the great trees of Mamre at Hebron, where he pitched his tents, and there he built an altar to the Lord. Just one more verse. Okay, maybe there's not one more verse. I'm going to read it in a slightly different translation. Then Abraham moved his camp to the oak grove. Listen to this. He moved his camp to the oak grove owned by Mamre, which is at Hebron. So Lot seemingly takes the best place. God straight away comes to him and says, by the way, have a look any direction you want. All of it belongs to you. He might be living over there, come on somebody, but it belongs to you. In other words, God's plans supersede and go beyond man's plans. There might be other people that have plans for your life, but you need to not look at their plans. You need to look towards God's plans for your life. Straight after God says everything, it belongs to you. I mean, it might look like other people own that section and other people own that section and lots going over there, but everything actually belongs to you according to my will, my plan, says the Lord. And so straight after that, the Bible says that Abraham moved his camp to the oak grove owned by Mamre, which is at Hebron. I just want to look at those two words. Firstly, it says oak grove. Now, I want you to understand, this is arid Palestine. This is like a desert region where there's lots of dust, there's lots of rocks, there's lots of hot sun, and not too much else. So if you come across an oak grove, what you've got to picture is a lush forest, which would be uncommon in arid Palestine, where they would have a large supply of water, otherwise it wouldn't be a grove, with lots of feed. I mean, he's got animals, he's got servants, he's got hundreds of people in his group. And he settles in this oak grove. I want you to know that God has a place of provision for you. While other people might have done the wrong thing, God comes through with the right thing. Not only that, it says that the oak grove was owned by a guy called Mamre. Or some people say Mamre. Now listen to this. Someone else did the wrong thing by him. So God brings another person along his path to do the right thing by him. Did you follow that? In fact, later on, if you keep reading your Bible, the man named Mamre is actually referred to as an ally of Abraham. So he's got oak groves for you and he's got allies coming to your aid. Just when you think you've been left alone, he's got someone to come alongside you at the right time, at the right moment, who can be a support and encouragement to you. That's what the body of Christ is all about. That's what the church is all about. And that's what blessing looks like. It looks like God orchestrating your prosperity despite decisions not going your way. It looks like God getting you ahead even though someone else pushed you down. It looks like God leading you into an oak grove that shouldn't even be yours. Blessing that belongs to someone else. And I know there's some people sitting here tonight, you might be saying, I don't think I'm blessed. I don't think I'm getting ahead in life. I feel like I've been pushed under. Well, I got two words for you, and that is, look up. You're blessed. Somebody say amen. So we'll continue working through the story. We've got through chapter 13 and we're going to roll into chapter 14. War breaks out in the region. This is a really interesting story. There are these five kings in the region, five rulers, but they've got an overlord king, an overlord ruler that is ruling over them. And these five kings get sick of it. In fact, one particular king, he says, I'm sick of giving taxes to this other king. You know, we're kings in our own right, and they decided to rebel. He got these five kings together, five rulers in this region, and thought, you know, forget this other guy. We're not going to serve him anymore. We're going to be the governors of our own destiny. And they rebelled against the overlord king. Well, the overlord king hears about this. This is interesting. And the overlord king says, no, this is not going to happen. And he has to make a statement, right? You can't just let people who are under your control just do whatever they want, because then other people will think they can do it. So he thinks he has to make a big statement. So he gets four other kings, four armies, four strong, brutal, violent, aggressive armies. And they march out to teach these five kings and their five armies a lesson. So we're talking, this is bad news for the region. That war is bad. And the Bible actually says that the overlord king with his four armies literally marches through the whole region, and they destroy every town and every village that they come across. They slaughter you know, literally thousands of lives just to make a statement on the way to the battle. This is before the battle starts, before they even meet the five kings. They're slaughtering, they're plundering, they're taking all the possessions, they're collecting all their stuff. They meet the five kings, they obliterate the five kings and their armies. The whole region has been destroyed. Just so happens that that little part where all that happened, that's where Lot chose to go. So Lot gets caught up in the whole mess, right? And Lot gets taken as a slave with all his family. We're talking all his workers, all his children, his family members, and his possessions. The whole place just gets plundered and destroyed, and Lot gets caught up in the whole thing. Someone escapes and comes and tells Abraham. Now, Abraham still loves Lot, right? So he thinks, I've got to do something about this. This is my nephew. So he gets every man that's in his group. Now we're talking about anyone that's like 13 years and up. So the shepherd boys, the people that help cook the food, anyone who's a man, he says, you're coming with me. And there's, let me tell you how many, 318 of them, right? So you think, wow, that's a lot of men. Well, it all depends what you're doing with the 318 men. I mean, if you're just going, if you've got to feed 318 men, well, you might say, well, that's a lot of people. If you've got to go up against four brutal armies that have just destroyed a whole region, then you might say 318 men is not that many. Especially when you consider they're not soldiers, they're shepherds and servants, right? So Abraham goes up. Now, the Bible is so funny. The Bible is so matter of fact about these different events, and it just kind of sometimes just glosses over stuff. Just states something. And so if you're not careful, if you're glossing over the Bible, you just gloss over it and move on. You think, well, there's nothing in that for me. So it basically says Abraham takes his 318 men, goes up against the kings, the four armies, and destroys them and rescues Lot and takes everything they had. Remember, they plundered a whole region. He takes everything that they had after destroying the four armies. And it doesn't say it quite like that. It just says, you know, Abraham goes, rescues Lot, takes all the plunder, and goes on his merry way. It's like, well, that's, well, as you do. You know, you just do that sort of stuff. Hold on for a second. How did he do that? Come on, somebody. These are brutal warriors. In their thousands. And he's got a bunch of shepherd boys. And he just goes, smashes them all. They shouldn't have been able to do it. But they did it anyway. That's what blessing looks like. It looks like not having enough resource to accomplish it, but you accomplish it anyway. It looks like you're not gifted enough to fulfill your dreams, but you fulfill it anyway. Come on, somebody. It looks like you're not strong enough to get through the problem that you're going through, but you get through it anyway. It sort of reminds me of Jesus. Maybe I'll have the worship team come up. It reminds me of Jesus with the five loaves of bread and the two fish and 3,000 people in front of him. And he's got to feed them all, but there's not enough. No one in his group thinks it's enough. They said, we got not enough, but here you go. You can hold it, Jesus. Well, that's the only thing they did right. When you haven't got enough, you just put it in the hands of Jesus. And when the thing is in the hands of Jesus, have you read the story recently? Five loaves, two fish, and the Bible says that Jesus holds it up to heaven and he blessed it. He blessed it. And then it fed 5,000 people, not including the women and children that were there. So apparently, when the not enough touches the blessing of God, it becomes more than enough. It becomes more than enough. I know you might not think you're smart enough, but in the hands of God, you're more than enough. Sometimes when we read the story of Jesus and the five loaves and the two fish, we imagine the bread and the fish as resource. And we sometimes apply, well, just put your money in the hands of Jesus. Come on, somebody. And that's cool. That's actually a good application. That's a correct application. There is another application. Maybe the bread and the fish, maybe it's not the resource. Maybe it's you. Maybe you put your life in the hands of Jesus. And your life that is not strong enough. Your life that's not wise enough. Your life that's not, you know, academic enough. Your life that's not rich enough. Is still able to accomplish things that you never dreamt of. I know there's people in this room that probably say, I don't think I'm blessed. Because you're looking at your life. But your life is not always the indication of blessing. Put that life in the hands of Jesus. And the not enough becomes more than enough. Abraham was blessed. But he struggled to see it. And I just want to read one more scripture, because after all that we just described, Abraham was still not in faith. And we call him the father of faith. Oh, it's okay to go through struggles, you know. After all that, Abraham was still in fear and worry. Have a look. I'll show you through reading chapter 15. I think it's chapter 15 and verse 1. Sometime later, the Lord spoke to Abraham in a vision and said to him, "Do not be afraid, Abraham, for I will protect you and your reward will be great." Well, here's the thing. If God says, "Do not be afraid," it means you're afraid. Otherwise, he wouldn't say, "Do not be afraid." So after all the miracles, Abraham's sitting there fearful, worried. Because sometimes we're so fixated on what we don't have or what's not happening, we forgot that right at the very beginning, he pronounced the blessing over our life. But Abraham replied. See, so this is God coming to him personally, talking, you know, audibly to him in a vision. And he has the audacity to argue with it. You know, sometimes we say, well, if the Lord just turned up, then I'm struggling. But if the Lord actually spoke to me personally, you know, then I'd be okay. Not necessarily. Because, like, I have this impression, but I find it so hard to hold on to. If the Lord just said it differently, no. If he said it differently, the fear would still be the same. At some point, you've got to choose to let go of the fear and embrace faith in Jesus Christ. But Abraham replied, "O sovereign Lord, what good are all your blessings?" So he even knew that he had some blessings. "What good are all your blessings when I don't even have a son? Since you've given me no children. Since you've given me no children. Since..." See, if you don't think you're blessed, you blame your problems on God. "Since you've given me no children, Eliezer of Damascus, a servant in my household, will inherit all my wealth. You've given me no descendants of my own, so one of my servants will be my heir." Keep going. "And then the Lord said to him, 'No, your servant will not be your heir, for you will have a son of your very own who will be your heir.'" And then the Lord took Abraham outside and said to him, "Look up into the sky and count the stars if you can." That's how many descendants you will have. So Abraham's sitting in his tent. I'm going to finish in a few seconds. Abraham's sitting in his tent, moping, discouraged. You can literally be sitting there with the Lord himself talking to you. And the first thing God says, after Abraham whinges and complains a little bit, he says, "Abraham, come outside." Because we can often sit in a place of our own making, with four walls all around us and a roof. And the place that I live in was made by me. Metaphorically speaking, we can make these places that we live in, the place of fear, the place of depression, the place of disappointment, and we live in that place. And we can't see because of the walls that are surrounding us. So before God has to inject faith in you, he says, come out. He says, come out. And that's what I'm saying to you. It's time to come out of the place of fear. It's time to come out of the place of torment. It's time to come out of the place of disappointment. I know you lost someone you loved, but it's time to come out of that disappointment. I know the plans didn't turn out the way you wanted, but it's time to come out. I know you thought it would happen this way. I know you thought it would happen sooner, but it's time to come out of that place that you made for yourself. Come out and look up. It's amazing that God chose the biggest thing in the universe as an object lesson to lift his faith. Come on, somebody. Look at the stars. Of all the things you could look at, of all the things that could become the object lesson, God picks the biggest physical thing, space, and says, look at that. If you want to actually understand the blessings of God in your life, stop looking at the small things. Start looking up at the largeness of God, at the largeness of His capacity and His love. Start to look at the cross. I love the fact that the logo is a love heart. The love of God is so immense, so amazing. If you just look at His love, it's just, oh man, how can I be small if I look at that? So that's all I wanted to tell you tonight. Look up, because you're blessed. You're children of God. He loves you. I understand not everything has worked out the way you thought, but He still loves you, and He's still got a plan for your life, and He's still moving you forward. I'm just going to close by praying for people who have been stuck in a tent of their own making, a place of fear, depression, dislocation, a place of small-mindedness, a victim place. I'm not going to ask you to come out, but I am going to ask you to stand up in your place just so I can pray over you. And if that's you, when I count to three, just stand to your feet and raise your hands. One, two, three. Come on, just stand to your feet right now. Just raise your hands. Praying for anyone. And maybe you're not in a place of discouragement, but you're saying, you know what, I want to see the greatness of the blessing on my life. Then you stand up too. Let me pray for you. Raise your hands in the name of Jesus. Right now, I pray for mindsets to shift. I pray for depression to leave. I pray for discouragement to go. I pray for fear to lift in the name of Jesus. Lord, we look towards your love. We look to the cross. We look to you, the greatness of God. We say, renew our faith, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Amen. You know, we could have read a little bit more in the scripture. Just after God took him out and said, look up, it said this, Abraham believed. And God accredited it to him as righteousness. So the father of faith, he started believing in that moment. I'm believing that right now in this moment, your faith is going to go to the next level. That you're going to start believing in this moment, and it's going to take you into a new level in 2018. And if you believe that, give God a big clap and a shout in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Eternity Church podcast. For more episodes, you can find us on iTunes or at eternitydm.podbean.com.